Okay, Chevra. So, welcome to Tuesday Night Torah. Parshas Ki Tavo. We will get right into it. Doing the screen share. And pulling up Kliyakar. Here we go. So, Parsha Ki Tavo starts off very beautiful. I mean, all Parshiot, obviously, all Torah portions are beautiful, but it starts off very hopeful, very sweet story of the pilgrim who brings his bikurim and his maser to Yerushalayim, and he talks about all that he's done and how he served God, and now he's, you know, thanks God for taking him, you know, taking us out of Egypt, and you know, he's able to settle in his land, and he has a nice plot piece of land, and a house, and a family, and a farm. And I just want to give, you know, praise to God for the life that he's giving me. So that's very nice. But then we know that Ki Tavo turns in a very serious way. Ki Tavo is one of the two parshiot in the Torah that contains within it the rebuke, the tochecha. Parsha Bichukotai has the tochecha, and this is the second tochecha, the second rebuke in the Torah. Obviously, towards the end of the entire Torah, said through Moshe, and it's a very scary series of psukim that deal with what will happen when you know, things don't go the way we want them to go. Perhaps, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our faith isn't where it's supposed to be. And we get thrown off our land. And we're kind of almost like, a pinball in the pinball machine. You know, that ball gets, you know, sort of pushed around and this and that. You're wishing for, you know, when it's night, you're wishing for day. When it's day, you're wishing for night. It's just a horrible situation. According to the Ramban, this second tochecha speaks to the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash and the subsequent exile that we call Galut Edom, the exile of the Roman exile. And Parsha Bechukotai is supposed to represent the first exile, the destruction of the first temple, you know, by the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and Babel, Babylonia and Persia after that. So, somewhere here in the middle, you have the pasuk saying as follows: Im lo tishmor la'asot et kol divrei haTorah hazot haktuvim ba'sefer hazeh. And if you don't keep all of, if you don't observe and do all of the Torah that I've asked you to do, that's written in this sefer. To fear God, honor Him, and you know, the awesomeness and the, you know, the respect and the glory due to God, then bad things are going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. So, if we look in the pasuk and we continue, I'll show you in a second. Excuse me. Nun chet, kaf chet. Okay. Vihifla Hashem et makodcha, veit makod zarecha. God is going to be wondrous in bringing out horrible makot, horrible plagues. Those words, we know what a makah is, right? It literally comes from the word to smack, to hit. But a makah is a plague, as we know, right? Like the 10 plagues. Hashem's going to bring wondrous makot. Then makot zarecha, makot gdolo v'nei manot. They're faithful makot. They're big, they're, you know, a really powerful, and they're faithful in that they're going to come, v'chalayim ra'im v'ne'amanim. I mean, this sounds like literally like prophecy, right? And they're horrible sicknesses that b'nei manim, you know about them. The only thing you don't, the thing you know about them, you don't really know anything about it, but the thing that you know is that it's pretty terrible. Sounds really familiar, right? Like the novel stupid coronavirus. Okay? Ve'heshiv b'cha et kol manvei Mitzrayim, asher yagartu mipneihem v'dav kubach. God's going to bring all of this sickness, all the illnesses and the maladies of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, and they'll cling to you. Again, scary. V'dav kubach, right? What do they say about the coronavirus? Someone's going to help me here. What do they say about what's unique about the coronavirus? The cellular structure? The spikes, right? You see, you know, whenever you see that image of it, right? Because it sticks on. V'dav kubach. It sticks on to you. Literally, the spikes stick on and they cause terrible, as we know, terrible devastation. Gam kol choli v'chol makah. Every sickness, every plague. Asher lo katub b'sefer HaTorah zo yaleim Hashem alecha ad hisham doch. He's going to throw at you. It's going to be terrible. V'nishartim tema ad, you'll be left. Tachar sher yitim kechokve ha-shamayim la-rov, you were like the stars in the heaven. Kilo shamata b'kol ha-shem lo-kechem, for you didn't listen to God. Now, thank God, if we think about Israel, as much as the COVID pandemic is, you know, every day they have high numbers and higher numbers and spread, and they're working on it now. It seems like they're getting a hold on it. The reality is, b'li ayin hara, the mortality rate, b'li ayin hara, it still hasn't even hit 1,000. Now, obviously, every person, every human being is an olam male, is an entire world, an entire universe, and everyone has to be mourned and regarded, and obviously it's terribly sad. But to imagine, right, this is a country of 10, 11 million people, still, you know, the mortality rate is really, 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 thank God, pretty low. But either way, here, all this stuff, God just throws his bag of whatever at us. And now, here's what's really odd, but not just odd, it almost upsetting. And you'll see in a moment what I mean. Here's what's upsetting. It says a Kliyakar. He says, this is like so. Lo nichla marayhu. It's so upsetting. It's not even. It's inappropriate to ascribe this level of exactitude to our God, to Marayhu, our Mar, our Master, to God, that if you don't keep, think about the words, Imlo tishmor et kol divrei haTorah zot. You have to keep every single mitzvah. Anyone on this Zoom right now, or anyone you know, could we literally say they keep every single mitzvah? I mean, by the way, even if, you know, you could say, well, you know, I'm pretty awesome. You know, I keep every mitzvah. Well, by the way, there are mitzvah you can't keep, right? There are mitzvah that only apply to men. There are mitzvah that only apply to women, right? So a man can't keep all, a woman can't keep all. There are mitzvah that only apply to Kohanim. There are mitzvah that only apply if you're living in Eretz Yisrael. I see someone on the call that Mirtz Hashem wants to be living in Eretz Yisrael, and you know who you are. And they're pretty much there, thank God. Now I see you. But it's impossible. And then think about regular people like us. We say, oh, Rabbi, you know what? I do my best. You know, I do my best. Can all of us say we keep every? But so if you don't keep kol divrei HaTorah hazot, Hashem's going to bring wondrous, not just plagues, not just sickness, not just like bad stuff, pandemics. V'hifla Hashem HaKol. He'll bring you a novel, literally, hifla from the word pele. Pele means, right, something that's wondrous, something that you don't understand, right? It literally sounds like a novel, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's pretty wild. Like, what does that even mean? V'hifla. from the word pele, a wonder, right? Like a miracle almost, right? Something that's so terrible. He says, this is impossible. This is a gzeira she'ein hatzibur yachol la'amod ba. This is some level of meeting out punishment, or you know, the way that God is, you know, judging the world. That's impossible for anyone, that the tzibur can't withstand. Like, we can't do it. It's impossible. Who could? No one. No one would be able to live up to this high standard. Umausha Amar. So that's question number one. How could this be? All? Kol divrei HaTorah Azot? Everything? Umausha Amar liyirat Hashem HaNichbad v'anora. And why does it say that you have to keep all of the Torah and, right here, kol divrei HaTorah, and you have to fear God's, like, honored and awesome name? That's like a very odd thing to say, right? That's not, we don't usually see that kind of language. Wow. So he says, Moshe Amar, liyirat Hashem nechbad v'anora. Lama yizker tuarim elu? Why are these adjectives brought in? Kan yoter ni b'sha'ar mekamot. We don't see this in other places. It's like odd. V'od kasha, and he says, my third question is, in Maseches Shabbos, in the tractate Shabbos, darshu min pasuk, v'ifla Hashem et makotcha, she'atida Torah she'tishtakach mi'Yisrael. They say, oh, Hashem will bring wondrous plagues on you, that eventually the Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people. As it says, and it quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Isaiah, that's actually right here, Lachein hineni yosif lehafli, therefore I will continue to be wondrous et ta'amazeh, to do wondrous things with this nation, hafle vafele, there'll be wonders of wonders, the of the chochmas chochamav, and you'll forget the wisdom of the wise ones, right? You'll forget the wisdom of the sages. Ubinat nevonav tistatar, and the wisdom of the again of your of the you know, the religious leaders, that you know, the thought class, the intelligentsia of your people will be hidden from you. Like, again, what? Like, what is that doing? What does that even mean? And then he says again, v'chimidaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it really the you know, God's way? Is it His the way that He deals with the world? Linol sha'arei chachma miYisrael, to linol, to lock, like the word ne'ila, right? When the gates are locked, right? We're getting to Yom Kippur almost. Okay, linol, to close, to lock the gates of wisdom from the Jewish people, kedeshi makubi ba'avonam, so that they'll just be wasted away, they'll be, you know, dissolved in their sins. Like, what do you mean? Like, we need the wisdom. There's one thing. What's our saving grace in this world? It's the Torah, right? Forget it, or else we get swallowed up in Netflix and Hulu and whatever, right? We need the Torah. What? So God's going to say, oh, no. Sorry. It's, you guys are so bad. No Torah. That's not the way of God. So if you notice, like, just take this paragraph. Essentially, what the Kli Yakar is saying is, like, this just doesn't seem fair. Something's off here. This doesn't seem to be God's way. This seems too, you know, this is the kind of, you know, the kind of mentality that we had when we're kids, right? Where, you know, we think of God and He's like standing up there and like He's ready to, like, when we do a sin, He's like, oh, there you go, I'm mad at you now, you know, I'm going to punish you. That's not God. God is all encompassing love. Ahava rabah, ahav tanu, right? Ahavat olam, it's eternal love, it's abundant love. God wants us to come back. Ki lo yachpots bimod hamet. God doesn't want us, we say this in Ne'ila, in Yom Kippur, God doesn't want us to die in our sins. He doesn't want us to be to walk, you know, in the darkness without any wisdom. He wants us to do tshuva. How do we do tshuva? How do we return? We return by Hashem, you know, giving us wisdom, giving us, teaching us, right, the Torah, and having us be open, our hearts and our minds open to the words of Torah, to our rabbis, to our teachers, to, you know, this just doesn't seem to be God's way. What is happening here? Okay. So he says, Elavadai. Erase. Elavadai, he says. Shehanavi Yeshaya Midaber Bidor Shehamakayim Mitzvot. He says, you know, Yeshaya is talking about Isaiah, right, where we had just seen earlier. That went away, okay. But where he talks about, you know, this time of the wisdom, you know, and being, you know, locked out from that wisdom. He's talking about a generation that keeps the mitzvot. However, ach lo mi'ired Hashem, they're not keeping the mitzvot based on or because of the fear of God. They're not keeping the mitzvot for God. And by the way, fear doesn't, the yirat Hashem doesn't mean fear. I believe, you know, the better translation for that, for what fear means, would be this. Oh wait, this is spotlight, sorry. Having trouble. Would be, can I write? No, I can't write. Sorry about that. Something got messed up. Okay. Anyways, yira comes from the word lirot, right? To see. Okay. So, you know, they're not doing mitzvot based on a God awareness and a God consciousness and, you know, and feeling that, you know, God is with them. Ki machmar ezo tachlit chitzoni. Ha-machrichem al zeh. They're doing it for some external reason. What external reason could they be doing the mitzvot for? They're doing it because they want other people to notice them or see them. O machmat yirat ezo adam, or they're afraid of some individual hamachrichem al asiyah who's compelling them to do it. Shelo betovatam, v'davar zeh gorem chil Hashem, and this causes a big chil Hashem. Meaning, they're not doing the mitzvah for God. Who are they doing the mitzvah for? They're doing the mitzvah for people, for man. They're doing the mitzvot so their society will look well upon them. They're doing the mitzvot because, you know, they're embarrassed. They don't want, you know, everyone else is doing it, so I have to do it also. He's like, I'm sorry. That causes a huge chil Hashem. Ki b'li safik, she'akadosh baruch hu bochein libot, she'ein asiyatam lishma. Because there's no doubt in my mind that God examines our hearts. And he knows that they're not doing it for the sake of heaven. Uma'anisham aroa machshavatam. And he's, you know what the punishment is for? He's punished them for the sort of the wickedness of their thoughts. Ve'aroimotam asukim. Thank you. Ve'aroimotam asukim b'torah u'mitzvah yikro tagar al Hashem. And when you know you see them engaged in Torah and mitzvos, it's like you're literally it's a sham to God. It's not real. It's fake. Alkeina Amar Abuseinu im Ra'isa Dor She'ina Torah Chaviva Alav Kanes. That's why they say, the rabbis say that if you see a generation that the Torah is not beloved to, you should gather yourself in, right? You don't want to be a part of that generation. Lo Amru Dor She'ina Lomed in Torah. It doesn't say if you see a generation that's not learning Torah. No, they're learning Torah. They're doing Torah, kol ikar el alomdin. Rather, they're learning avalol shem shamayim. But they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're not doing it for heaven. They're not doing it for God. V'alkein eina Torah chaviva aleihem be'etzem. And therefore, it's not the Torah in its essence that's beloved to them. It's the people. It's their stature in society. V'rishona. Ella, right? It's not the primary reason they're doing things. Rather, it's their imagined station, their imagined purpose, why they're doing it, to curry favor. Again, you know all the reasons why people do things that they don't really, you know, they don't really mean, especially when it comes to the service of God. When you're forced to do something, well, I have to do this, what everyone else is doing. There's no love. You're not doing it for God. You're not doing it out of love. You're not even doing it out of fear. You're not even doing it because you believe in Him. Therefore, in a generation like that, Hashem says to the rabbis, to the religious leadership, gather in your words. Hane'imim. You have beautiful things to say. You have beautiful Torah. But lo yeshama al picha. They're not going to listen. L'lamei Torah. It's a waste of time. Rabbi Rubin seems to say sometimes that to say certain things to certain people who aren't going to listen, he would say it's a bracha levatala. A bracha levatala. What does that mean? It means a blessing in vain. What am I doing? I'm sharing beautiful words of Torah, but no one cares. No one's interested. Why bother? Umusr l'dor tapuchos kazeh, to a backwards generation like this, I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to teach them, I'm going to, asher kol torasa ma'aseim einam ki'im min yasafo l'chutz, for all of their Torah, all of their actions, their behaviors are really only, you know, from, they're only from the outside, you know, they're totally, you know, from the, you know, it's not real. It's skin deep. It's like a house of cards, right? Oh, I'm doing all the things. I'm going to Minyan. I'm learning. And I put on my tefillin. And I send my kids to Yeshiva. But it doesn't matter to you. You don't care about it. Gamma, you end up, by the way, you end up rebelling. Your kids end up rebelling if you don't care about it. Gamma Hashem yisabev sibot le'abed chachma chachachmav chachmav min dor kazeh. And even God himself will sort of make it, will create a scenario where the wisdom of the sages will be lost upon you. You don't even hear it. It'll be far away from you because it's not worth it. Ki nachas ruach lifnash lefanav yisbarach b'torah mitzvah kazeh. Because God, what is nachas ruach? God doesn't get nachas. What's nachas? Right? Pride, excitement, joy, the feeling that we feel when we see our children or grandchildren and the way that they're acting, the way they get their sidur, they get their chagat Torah, they're, you know, you see them davening, you see them keeping things in a way that perhaps you didn't keep, like, whoa, that's nachas. Hashem gets nachas from us when we do, in the same way, all of us, we're all his children. But God doesn't get nachas when you're doing spiritual acts for physical, perhaps even selfish and just self-serving reasons. You're taking something pure and you're dragging it through the mud. This is very much, I'm going to make a bracha. I'll share with you some cookies we made. Yum. You know, I come from, I'm sure many of you know, I come from a line, a Hasidic dynasty called Kutsk. That's why my email address is Kutsk or Truth. In Kutsk, it was all about truth. This is what he hated. He said, I'd rather have, no, he would say, sorry, I'll say it better. In Kutsk, he said, people do their sins in public and their mitzvot in private. Why? Because he said, a mitzvah done for some ulterior purpose, something having to do with your own, again, social standing, your own self-worth, your own sense of whatever, and other people are going to see you do the mitzvah, that was 10 times worse than even a sin that you did, or that someone might have seen. Because he would say, I'd rather people who know they're Russia, they're Rishayim, they're wicked, than people who know they're tzaddikim. Right? Because if you know you're a tzaddik, what does that mean? It means that you're low, you see, this is how people see you, and you're looking at it. It's not real. There's a famous story about an old chassid of Kutsk, where he's on his deathbed, and he says, he starts laughing, like, you know, he's really in, like, literally, you know, in his final hours, and he starts laughing. And they say, what are you laughing? What's going on? He said, it's amazing. He said, because even in my final hours on this earth, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is so strong. And you know what he's telling me? I have my students around, or my children around my bedside. The Yetzer Hara is telling me, say Shema! Say Shema right now, and you'll die. Your life will, you know, breath will leave your nostrils at the word Echad, just like Rabbi Akiva, just like the great and holy tzaddikim we know about. That you said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That'll be your final word on earth, and you'll die. And the Yetzer Hara is telling me to do that. Why? So that everyone around my bedside will say, oh, look at what a tzaddik Avremel was. He said, Shema, and he died at Echad. He goes, I'm not going to do it. Right? And that's the idea. Right? It needs to be pure. Our mitzvot needs to be pure. Our Torah needs to be pure. If it's not, like, it's A, it's not worth anything. B, it's worse because you're taking something pure and holy and you're dragging it through the mud and you're giving it its own ulterior motives and purposes. Now, there's something obviously very beautiful about communal worship, about feeling, seeing someone else and someone else seeing you and you feeling and davening together and be 100%. There's something so beautiful about that. But it has to be for God, right? That's what God wants. So that's why I do it. And he says that's why the prophet Isaiah says, you know, that these people, that's what they're like. It's not real. They're compelled to do my mitzvot, just but not for me, for other reasons, for ulterior motives. Look at the pasuk. It's right here. Vayomer Hashem, Yan ki nigasha amaze. Befivu visfatav kibduni. They've come close to me, these people. And they've honored me with their lips, with their mouths. They're paying what? You know what the word I'm looking for. They're paying lip service to me. Vilibo richak mimeni. But their heart is far away from me. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. Bati yiratam oti, and their fear of me is mitzvah anashim milumada. Their fear is only for one reason. It's not a fear of me, it's a fear of man. It's worrying about what other people will say. And that's why they're doing these mitzvot. Well, guess what? I don't want to be a part of this. And I'm going to be mafli. And I'm going to make sure that the words of the sages are far away from them. I'm going to make sure that they don't even understand the words of the sages in a situation like this, because it's, again, like we said, it's a waste, and it's not good. It's not good. And now he comes back to the pasuk that we started. He says, well, I'll bring up the, what's it called again? He says, okay. Alkein siva Hashem lefarsem aleihem ulegale ra'atam bikal bador she'eino sinkiim mehechrech ezo tachlim medumi ka'osher v'chavod. Therefore, God wanted us to, like, really, you know, make publicize this far and wide, that if a person acts in such a way that he's only serving me for some other imagined purpose of, you know, of wealth or honor, asher ilavu noseit nafsho kiminhag doreinu zeh, that he lifts his soul for, like, you know, like it is in this generation. And what's cool about this is he's talking about his own generation. He's talking about his own generation. Everyone's saying hi to you, Jermaine.
Hi, I'm sorry, I didn't need an email.
It's okay. Al ze amar im lo tishmor. And that's why it says, if you don't keep all of the Torah. Okay, well, what does that really mean? It's talking about someone, you're learning all the Torah, you're keeping the Torah, you're very, quote, frum, and you're learning Torah, but you're not doing it for God. So you're not keeping all of this Torah, read it through, you're not keeping all of the Torah, right? Meaning, you're doing the Torah, you're learning, but you're doing it, you're not doing it for God, liyirah et Hashem, right? That's what it comes to, like, kind of modify. You're not doing it for that. And you're doing it for other reasons. Rotzalomar, be'emes tishmort kol divrei Torah, ava lo liyirat Hashem anechbad v'anoran. That's why it uses that language of, yeah, you're doing everything, but you're doing it not for God's glory and his awesomeness. Remember we said earlier at the outset, why are we using these weird adjectives about God's glory and his awesomeness? Because that's the point. God is awesome. God is filled with honor and respect and glory, right? And worthy of all of those things. Not people, but you're just doing it for people. Miyirat anashim ha-machrichin otcha. V'ata machlif u'meimir yirat Hashem. And you're literally exchanging. You're replacing the what was supposed to be the awe of God, an awareness of God, of the great and awesome Almighty God, biyirat enosh, chatzir, for the silly, petty fears of people or thoughts of what they're going to think about you. Yinatena achus bechav lebutz buz v'ketzef, ki ata yarei pen lo yishrum asecha b'nei anashim, because you're afraid that maybe you won't pass the muster in certain people's eyes, that you won't be up to snuff. Ki lo yishru ma'asecha, that your deeds and the way that you keep the Torah won't be pleasing in the eyes of other people. It's ridiculous. Kederach hachanafim shebdorenu, like, and again, he's pounding his own generation, like the people who are the sycophants of our generation. Chanafim are people who do things to kiss up to other people, right? The sycophants of our generation. Ha'usim kedei limtzochein beinam. Just doing it, for, societal standing and, that other people will think you're a this or you're a that. Sheikh bedum yashirum. And so that they'll honor you or they'll enrich you. He's like, again, that's disgusting. I don't want a piece of that. That's what's happening here. Azvi flash. Then you know what? I'm going to bring down a rain of terrible, not just a pandemic, 10 pandemics on you. The fleta zu aplai Torah, the grom shi anshe emet yesfu nogato ratam, and it'll cause the honest, real people to just literally run away from you, to flee from people like you. B'makom asher lo yireh. Lo yireh, lo yimatze, in a place you can't find them. Ba'al yehi chelkam imachem. And may my portion not be with you guys. Ba'az yedu kol ha'amim kimishpatei Hashem emes. And then everyone will recognize that the laws of God are true. Unbelievable, unbelievable teaching. And, I think it's practical to us, obviously, on many levels, but I'm going to give you two takeaways. Number one, just in general, how we approach God and how God approaches us. God wants our hearts. God wants our neshamos. He wants our honesty. He wants authentic, sincere, real service. He wants us to kind of fall in line on some level, right? And understand we're a part of a greater community. That's very nice. But that's not the reason why we should be serving God. That goes against all of the reasons. And that being said, God is a merciful God. God loves us. God's not sitting there, and saying, here I go, I'm going to get them. They're doing this or they're doing that. That's not God. That's not the God we believe in. Even the tochacha, even the most kind of horrific and powerful rebuke that we've been through as a people, we know we've been through, unfortunately, all too often, too many generations. Have known things like this. It's not God, saying, hey, I want to do this. It's not. When we take God's Torah and we basically drag it through the mud, then God's going to say, I'm going to make it hard for you to fully understand the kinds of things you need to understand because you'll never understand it. And you're not in that space. That's A. Let me just, before I get to B, Adam, left asked a question. Doesn't it use Hashem in the Tochacha? Does it use Hashem in the Tochacha? I'm not sure. Adam, we'll talk about that privately, okay? B, for us. I think what happened with us and what we're living through right now is a period in Jewish history where we actually can't do things in front of people, right? We're sitting here in front of Zoom. Okay, maybe, maybe you're doing, for the most part, right? You're there. We're there. We're in front of your computer. You're at home. And that sort of communal, the regular communal rhythm of things actually isn't there. And I think, what we need to do is see that as our challenge. Perhaps it's God saying to us, on one level, I'm not a prophet, but perhaps it's God saying to us, I want to see what you can do and what you will do when it's just you and me. Maybe it's you and me and your family, but it's pretty much you and me. And as God, Mirtz Hashem, it's temporarily has taken us out of that public social sphere. Now God is saying, all right, I know you come to shul usually and you want a little kiddush and you want a schmooze. So I'm going to take that out of the equation. How about just davening? Whether it's in shul, whether it's in a tent, whether it's at home, whether it's in your room. How about just the davening? How about just, the tefillin? How about just the ma'asim tovim, that good act that normally you would do with a few other people or do within the context of the shul or of a Shabbos, a yontif or whatever? How about you do it now? I mean, you guys, by the way, all of you guys on some level, all of you on this Zoom, you're passing that test, right? You're saying, look, yeah, I'm alone. I'm here, I'm in my house, but I want the divrei, I'm not a chacham by any means, but I want the words of the chachamim. I want the words of the Torah. I want it, and I want to be a part of it. And even though no one's looking, right? It's sometimes there's a pull to go to shir. Oh, I'll go to this class because this person's going and that person's going. Well, it's just you, and it's just you and me, but it's really not. It's you, me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and God. And may Hashem see the authenticity in what we're doing, the purity in what we're doing, the sincerity in what we're doing. May our avodah, our service of Him, of God, be pure as we head into the high holiday season. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the wondrous and novel way that He brought this pandemic upon us, in the same way, may He take it away from us. And may He bring us healing and redemption speedily in our days. Thank you, everyone, so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Shavua Tov to all.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Rabbi.
Good night, everyone.